Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome in to Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. The summer rolling on. Weather is nice and warm for you outside. Derek Mason is on vacation. If you were out of box, out of pocket last week and you missed the news, we'll still continue to repeat it. Caroline Fenton has taken another gig, moving up. At some point, she's going to announce it. She's really holding everybody in suspense, Nick. I don't know what's going on.
Hey, that's a good thing.
She still hasn't announced it, right?
Nah, I haven't heard anything, which is good. It's sports. Suspense. It's summer news. It's like transfer news.
I'm on the edge of my seat, although we are in the know. She did tell us where she's going, but she is no longer with us, but she will be with us in spirit. She will be on from time to time in future weeks, months, as a guest, as a family member. So we've got that. In the meantime, day number two of Jill Jelinek, special guest star, guest host, Fox 17, did an awesome job yesterday. We had a blast. Jill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I am so pumped. I get a day two. I passed the first test and
survived
the first day. We didn't have any callers that said, get this girl off the air. So that was a goal of mine. So I'm happy with that.
The bar was low, by the way, when you're on a show like this. But you passed with flying colors. Did you ever take a class pass-fail? Do you ever have to do that?
Oh yeah.
I did not ever use that tool in college, and I wish I did. I didn't trust myself because it's like you had to get a C minus or better.
Right, one or the other. Yep, it's either you're failing it or you're just above a C plus. I think you're good.
But speaking of set the bar low, I always felt like okay, if I'm shooting for a C minus, that is a very good chance I'm going to miss that.
As they say, C's get degrees.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy, is that they what get, they say, Nick?
Good
they
thing for
okay,
me.
Okay.
They get me degrees.
Good thing for me. So there were times where I slipped well below the C minus, or not too far below, but I never did. I never flagged one in college, but there was a D for Donick. There was a couple of those.
Hey, D's, they also get degrees. Just saying.
But it all worked out. I did get the degree. Once upon a time. But plenty going on today. We're going to hit on some different things. Really excited about the bottom of this hour. We're going to have a special guest, Keith O'Brien. Now, a lot of you, this is interesting. It's been 5 years now. I saw an interesting piece recently. It's been 5 years since Tennessee has had legal gambling, sports gambling. It's hard to believe. Time has flown so far. But there were some statistics thrown out there. There's a ton of people now that are registered on apps that are sanctioned by the state, and the amount of dollars, billions of dollars, have been wagered. You know, and the news piece talks about all the good, about, you know, that goes to scholarships and things like this, similar to the lottery. And of course, they don't talk about not as much about the downside, but there's an author named Keith O'Brien that recently wrote a book on Pete Rose. And I will tell you that as a person who's done sports talk for a long time, you can pick a day, pick a year along the spectrum, going back to when he was in the center of the scandal and was thrown out of baseball. 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, he was always a lightning rod because he was such a popular player, but also bringing up the whole, should he be in the Hall of Fame? What should be the penalty for what he did? Pete Rose has always been a star like that because he was such a special player for those of us that grew up watching him. So you combine that to the Shohei Ohtani story. Just this week, a baseball umpire, a very good one, has been suspended. He hasn't
Pat
been
Holberg
for violating the gambling policy. Don't know really the particulars. Mm-hmm. It's only a few things have been known as to why, but it just has you wondering. Okay, what next? Is there going to be another big scandal here? It's probably just a matter of time, especially with all of the money going on with gambling.
And at the start of this month, Padres infielder Tucapita Moricana,
yes,
who is the first baseball player since Pete Rose to be banned from the sport 30 years later. Crazy. And here we are talking about this wonderful book. I can't wait to talk to Keith O'Brien about it because it seems like there is never more of a more pressing time to talk about this, to bring this up, to talk about Pete's history and everything there, than right now. Now. It's crazy how that comes full circle in the sports world.
Yes. So a great interview coming at 12:30 to talk about Pete Rose and also the broader subject of gambling and sports, which is now so normal.
Too normal.
Yeah. Now, you're from California. Yeah. It's not legal in California,
which is correct. Part
of the Ohtani story, right, as to why that came out. So that's another twist on that whole thing. So that's something we're going to talk about at the bottom of the hour. Later in the show, too, we'll get into the Caitlin Clark situation that the WNBA is in right now, trying to navigate this media slam that's going on. More attention being paid to Lee, which is a great thing. The games are much more front and center in the summer than they've ever been before, and she's a big reason of that. And to get your perspective is going to be interesting on it. But, I mean, this is all of a sudden, this is a volcano that's erupted, and the WNBA is at center stage, but there's a lot that goes with that, especially from a media standpoint.
Absolutely. It seems like, I love your analogy of the volcano, because it's already erupted, right? But now it's just flowing and flowing and flowing, and it's going to a lot of different directions. So I am excited to get into that Caitlin Clark conversation with you, Willie.
Also, our weekly chat with Tim Hasselbeck, which is exciting. Yep. Jill does a lot of high school coverage, and
Tim
is at the helm of Ensworth. She's got a lot of high school football questions, which I think Tim will be very excited to talk about.
Yeah, I'm interested to ask Jill about this. I mean, you got Zach Mettenberger now at Father Ryan. All the Hasselbecks at Ensworth. Am I correct when I say Kerry Collins is at Summit, right?
I'll double check that. But
he's somewhere in Middle Tennessee coaching.
Yes, I mean. I'll double check that, but the big names in Nashville that are coaching at the high school football level, I mean, that's why it's a big reason why there's so many star recruits, top teams, incredible talent here in Middle Tennessee. That's why I love the high school football scene. So yes, love talking about that with you, Nick.
So we might get into that too, that whole aspect, and this is something that also comes with being on our second generation now of major league sports. You know, late 90s is when we got the Titans and the Predators. So a lot of the former players, more and more, seem to be settling. Even
great
players
point.
That didn't play for the Titans or the Predators, like Tim, are settling here with their families, and you know they're giving back. They're contributing to the quality of sports with their coaching. You go right down the line: Trent Dilfer, Rusty Smith. There's a lot of different guys that come to mind that turned around and became coaches. Kevin Wawai, just a few years ago, was coaching at NBA, and then last year was coaching at he replaced
Lipscomb Academy.
He came after Dilfer for a year. Yeah.
Correct. And no longer there.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a former Commodore. Is that right? Who took over for him?
Yes. His name is escaping. You're putting me on the spot right off the top. Former Commodore?
I'm trying to think.
I think he played for Vanderbilt at one point, yes.
Raheem Batten, is that right? Or where's Raheem? Now, he was at BGA for a while. I lose track. These guys...
Yeah. Well, that's how quickly
that
everything's moving.
Yeah.
Yes. Jamie Graham.
Excuse me. Two-sport guy at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Basketball and football. Heck of a player, Jamie. White's Creek Cobra. Jamie.
White's
back in
Creek
the day.
Cobras. Yes.
Shout out to those guys. So we got it covered today. College World Series, big game. It's going to start up at 1 o'clock. And I know Tennessee fans are going to be paying attention to this one because you're scouting out who you're going to play.
Absolutely.
It'll be North Carolina against Florida State. The two teams that Tennessee beat are trying to play each other to get another crack, and then they've got to beat Tennessee twice. So it's a long road. For those teams, but we'll be paying attention when that game gets started.
And then on top of that, for those not familiar with the format, Tennessee has to win, but then that's just to get into the three-game finals, which will be against a team in the other bracket, those teams battling it out later tonight and tomorrow. So this is just to try to get into that three-game series, which will take place Saturday, Sunday, and the IF game on Monday. So we still got a long week of college baseball ahead.
They draw it out. They keep the people in Omaha as long as they can.
Yeah, they do.
It is fun to follow the whole thing. And I've had a chance. I don't know if you've ever been out there, Jill.
Not to Omaha, no.
It really does take over the city. They do such a great job of just selling the game because they do it not just for the fans of the team that makes it there, if it's your team, but even if you're just playing on going and you just want to watch, they have a couple of youth tournaments. My son played in one, so we stayed out there for well over a week. They played five or six or seven games. Then you get a chance to go to the stadium and watch the game. It happened to be in 2019 when Vanderbilt got there and won it. That's the last time that they won it. So we had an absolute blast, a lifelong experience. memory kind of thing. I would highly recommend it. Even if you aren't following a team or not sure if your team is going to make it or not, it'll still be a great experience. They have so many things set up for kids, whether you're playing in the tournament or not. If you just get around that stadium, it just breathes baseball. Oof. Everywhere. It's great.
Chills. And I will say that OKC, for baseball, it's the road to Omaha. For college softball, it's the road to OKC, Oklahoma City. Uh-huh. They are trying to build exactly that. And I think they have over the years. As the sport has grown, it's become an annual trip for these softball fans. They try to create that exact environment that you described. It's fun. Always gives me goosebumps. I love this time of year for that reason.
And as a TV event,
the
Women's College World Series has been just
They do a great job. They do a great job.
I kind of wish somebody would knock off Oklahoma every now and then. It's almost like UConn basketball a few years ago.
It comes in waves. But you know what? There's a lot of programs on the rise. Texas was awful close. I'd keep my eye on that Longhorn program the next couple of years.
Speaking of Texas, Texas A&M last night, good win over Kentucky, and now is where Tennessee is on the other side of the bracket. So those two are somewhat on collision course. I do think Texas A&M, despite some of the injuries they've had, one in particular to a guy that's probably going to be picked in the first round, they still look very strong right now. They were a high-ranked team all year that kind of sagged a bit at the end of the regular season, but it looks like they're rounding into form. A potential Tennessee-Texas A&M, and they're not there yet.
Yeah.
But if they get there, I think that would be a pretty epic final if that happens.
Two great teams, and they've been strong. Texas A&M, like you said, with the injuries, but they've been strong all season and fun team to watch. And the guy that really did it for them last night, the Aggies starter Ryan Prager, he had a no hit going up until the seventh inning. He shut down those Kentucky bats, only allowed two hits, one walk in 6 2/3 innings. I mean, obviously we know it's with the arm, the rotation and the arm game and the depth, but if Texas A&M does make it back to that call to the finals, right? If against Tennessee, possibly expect to see Prager back on the mound again for maybe game one on Saturday.
That is an important point. That's the advantage. If you can get through undefeated, is you don't have to start recycling your starters. You can reset with
Huge
your one
advantage.
Two and your, if necessary, three in that final three game series.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to come back with your number one
to get it done.
Just to get to that 2 out of 3, and that can change
You
know, what happens. And that you've watched over the years how that can happen. It does affect who ends up winning the whole thing.
And the team with deep pitching staffs and the arms that can go the distance usually end up in that final series.
So Tennessee and Texas A&M in good shape. Congratulations to the Boston Celtics
last
night. NBA champion.
Mm-hmm.
Not the most entertaining NBA final of all time. It just was really like a train wreck. I mean, it just, you felt for the Mavs. I don't really care about either team that much. But man, Nick, the Mavericks, the way they struggled, that was kind of a theme of the series, just watching Doncic and Kyrie. The Celtics' defense was probably the biggest story in the series to me. They made it so tough on those guys.
You're right. I mean, the one thing that stuck out to me was Kyrie was obsolete, didn't show up in all the finals. You know, just coming off the bench wasn't great. You mentioned about Luka being kind of that ball hog type guy. I mean, you have to be a focal point. You have to be the main guy when your other, I guess, B, your like A to B is not with you 100% of the way. So, I mean, I'm just happy my ticket to the bank. It hit. We do it every Friday. I said, gentlemen, sweet.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, and that's going to happen tonight, I hope. So, you know.
For Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah, I took both series ago, just gentleman sweep.
Gentleman sweep.
I think I have a feeling about the Oilers.
What do you think, Willie?
I feel like the Oilers are going to extend the series tonight. And if they do, all of a sudden, there's going to be a little more nerves, I think, because the series would go back to Edmonton if they can pull it off tonight.
But, I think Grimace needs to show up, though. If Grimace shows up in Florida, they're going to win.
No. The Mets have the rights to Grimace. They have bought the Grimace. The Grimace is 6-0 with the Mets. Another win. We covered that yesterday. But the Grimace is – do not try to take the Grimace away from my Mets.
Our listeners are probably like, wait a minute. Are they referring to the McDonald's Grimace? Yes, we are.
Yes. That's him, and the Mets now own him. I have felt – you could tell from the first two games, and I was surprised because I didn't expect it, but the Celtics just looked better than the Mavs. Really the whole series, other than the one game four.
Which
where
now seems like a fluke, right?
That, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is funny. It's similar to the Stanley Cup Finals in terms of how that kind of set up with the right. Panthers now in the gentleman's suite. But
I would say, just in watching the Oilers, I just don't think that there's as big a gap. Like, I don't think they're – I think the Panthers are the better team, but I feel like the Oilers have enough – to extend the series and really make it interesting. A game six there to try to force a game seven on your home ice with that crowd, that would be something to watch. But they have to win tonight to do it. It's going to be, I'm sure, a pretty special atmosphere, even though I say that a little tongue-in-cheek because the Panthers fans, it's not like they have this great tradition of the best fans.
Compared to other teams?
Yes,
yeah. And I'm going to agree with you, Willie. I think those two teams are more competitive than what we're seeing in the NBA Finals. However, I'm going to argue that it was a fluke for Panthers goalie, Sergei Bobrovsky. Did I get that right?
Bobrovsky, yeah. Yes, Bob. Just call him Bob if you'd like.
So, Bob.
Everybody does. Yeah.
Bob allowed just four goals in those first three games. In their most recent game, the Oilers won. Oilers scored five goals on 16 shots. Like that to me was kind of like, okay, whoa. I would be very surprised if he doesn't come around tonight, absolutely shut down Edmonton.
Especially in the context of the value of Juuse Saros.
Yes,
we've watched Bobrovsky very closely because he makes $10 million, and the value of a marquee type of goalie that you pay and still have enough cap room to build a championship team. That's a central theme, I would say,
yes.
And has been on our station
and
for a while as they
games.
Try to figure out. Yeah, he's human.
Yeah.
But I think that is a big advantage that they have over the Oilers, whose goalie, Stuart Skinner, is a good goalie, but that's the argument for the other side.
Yes.
The non-Avengers,
yes.
If you will. You don't have to have the great goalie. You can have less money allotted to your goalie and have more money then to go for the weapons in front of that goalie. So that's kind of at issue tonight. We'll see what happens with the superstars, McDavid and Draisaitl. One thing we know, if they get rolling on the power play offensively, they can do what really no other team can do. And they got loose. They finally got loose in game four and got to the Panthers. We'll see what carries over because it's been a while. The long distance between the two cities.
Yeah. Isn't it one of the longest?
It is the longest that's ever had two teams in the Stanley Cup final. I think we can find geographically a couple that are longer among the 32 teams in the regular season. They don't do it during the regular season. So over, 2,500 miles or something between 2,900 miles?
Ballpark of a number. I think 29-ish in that ballpark.
I think we calculated it would be a 45-hour drive if you were to drive from Sunrise, Florida, to Edmonton.
Gross.
I don't think my car would make it. It'd probably make it to Colorado.
No car should make it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun to think about doing, but not actually do.
Right.
Like, if you like going on road trips, sure.
You would go through Nashville.
Yeah.
You would. If you look at the route they would send you, it would send you through Nashville.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm good.
I'll pass.
I like being here. I don't want to.
Okay, we'll watch.
Good answer.
Yeah. So that'll be good. Also, a shout out to Luke Kornet, the former Commodore.
Hey, there you go.
Fourth Commodore to ever play on an NBA championship team. And Luke wasn't really in the main rotation in the finals. Good role player for them. Of course, his mom, Tracy, works at Channel 4, right? And was a recent guest with Chase and Big Joe, right, to talk about that. We've just following his career at Vanderbilt and what he's done as a pro. So hats off to him. That's got to be pretty cool. My daughter goes to Northeastern University right down the road, just a couple of miles from the Boston Garden. So it was quite the night in Boston last night. If you wanted some action and some activity and some fun, it was there for you in the city last night. But 18th title for the Celtics. Pretty awesome stuff. The other thing that jumped out at me, the theme, and it's been happening over the last few years, but the Celtics, they said the stat last night. I kind of knew what I was watching, but I didn't have it put in numbers. They averaged over 16 made three-pointers per game during the year. So all of the analytics and the math that people are throwing out there about the weapon of a three-point shot, just the direction the game's going, if you can't shoot the three, it's going to be hard for you to compete
in the postseason.
Right.
Yeah. And what jumped out to me, Willie, really how young the Celtics team is. This isn't a bunch of, just grab what we call in college the super team, right?
Yeah.
Where you just grab guys for 1 year. You have their two stars, Jaylen Brown, and then also Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
26, 28 years old, right? Yeah. And Jaylen Brown was just named the MVP. Like, this is a Boston Celtics team that could be sticking around for several years, and they could just be getting started with what they're doing.
Did you guys see White, the guy that got – he took the fall – and he chipped his teeth, like knocked his teeth loose on the floor.
Derek White.
Derek White.
Oof.
I think Lisa Salter said in the post game, he's like, "Oh, show your teeth." He just like was smiling, not trying to show it. And I was like, "Just show your teeth, man."
Oh. when he smiled and he showed that, I was like, "Oh, that just it makes you hurt just secondhand."
I've been
watching that.
It's not fun. I've chipped like four teeth through football, baseball, and soccer.
I've chipped a tooth here and there, but not like I mean his like that was like. Not a chip. That was like a chunk.
Yeah. You might as well just start shaving your teeth down like a vampire. Oh,
you see that way more in hockey than you do the NBA.
Oh,
I've seen.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
That is also a bad feeling when you see a guy in hockey could lose six in one shot. Just like nothing. Just boom. They're all on the – and literally you see the guy picking them up or the referee comes over to pick them up.
The teeth.
Not a great feeling to watch that,
but
especially
that,
with the guy
that dental insurance is pretty good in hockey. I believe.
Oh, you know
right?
it. Yeah. You know oh, boy, it. Yeah.
They say veneers, and hey, we're good to go. That's retirement plan.
There is, I mean, as you would imagine, there is a dentist on hand for every NHL game.
Oh, I did not know that.
On call, like they could be sitting there watching the game, but they're ready at any time to get the signal. We got one.
That sounds like it could happen. Story. I want to follow up on the Preds dentist.
Do it. Write it down. Yeah, there we go.
Story.
We're here for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's. When we come back, we'll shift our attention to gambling and sports. Pete Rose, the legendary Pete Rose. We'd love to hear from you throughout the show. Comments, questions, texts, 615-737-1025. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And as always, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And welcome back to Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. As we promised you earlier, we're going to get into a little later in the show a broader topic on it's now been 5 years since Tennessee has legalized sports betting in the state. And you see it from all angles with the Titans, the Predators, advertisements on Jill's show, I'm sure, on our show here on our station.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get away from it, even if you try. But those of you who can go back a little ways will always remember, especially me, who's done a lot of sports talk in this city, the unbelievable story it was when Pete Rose was banned from baseball for betting on the game. And all that went with that, just the mega stardom of Pete Rose. And that's why we're really looking forward to this author that we're having on right now, Keith O'Brien, who wrote Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose. Now, Keith is from Cincinnati, so he's got a unique perspective. He was able to, years and years later now, go back and really look at the story from a different perspective and try to find new avenues that really hadn't been explored before this. And he's got a great book. It's a New York Times bestseller, so we welcome Keith to the show. Keith, great to have you on today.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Keith, I can go back when I graduated at Vanderbilt. And I started Sports Talk in the mid-1990s. This was a few years removed from Pete Rose getting banned. But anytime you wanted to light up the phone lines, even in Nashville, and of course there's a lot of Reds roots here in Nashville. You go back to the 70s when it was a different time watching baseball. We had a big discussion, Jill, as you remember yesterday on baseball.
Yeah.
But going back historically, when the Braves weren't very good before the Braves rose in the 90s, the Reds were really a mainstream kind of team that people watched in Nashville. So it was a huge Pete Rose fan base. So, Keith, as you can imagine, you bring up Pete Rose and should he be allowed to be in the Hall of Fame? What should the penalty be? That was an enormous sports story back then, and it continues to be today.
Well, it absolutely does. And that's one of the most fascinating things about Pete Rose. You know, 35 years after he was banned from baseball, 35 years since he was allowed to set foot on a baseball field. And we're still sorting through the wreckage that he created, not just in, you know, American sports culture, I would argue in American culture. And, you know, I think frankly, the wreckage is even more complex today, given the reasons you mentioned at the outset of the segment here. I mean, you know, gambling has now been legalized in 36 states, the District of Columbia. You know, last year, we legally wagered, $120 billion on sports alone, just sports. And I mean, to put that in perspective for a second, you know, if we had instead pooled our $120 billion instead of wagering it, we could have purchased every single Major League Baseball team and still had like $50 billion jangling around in our pockets. So it's an enormous sum of money. It is fundamentally changing how we talk about sports, how we interact with sports. I think it's fundamentally changing us as a people. And so what better time to go back and revisit the story of Pete Rose than now?
Keith, you as we mentioned, you grew up in Cincinnati, and that was really the fortress that protected him as long as they could. I can remember when I was in college, you know, some Reds fans that lived in my my dorm hall were saying, "Here's the book. You know, it proves that Pete is innocent." You know, there was all kinds of, you know, literature and everything you could find trying to prove that he didn't do it. He held to that for so long before he came clean himself. But what was it like from your perspective, just growing up watching him like you did and then watching the whole story unfold?
Yeah, so I was born in 1973. I'll date myself. So I'm too young to remember the Big Red Machine years, those epic teams of 1975, 76. You know, my first real memories are the early 1980s as a baseball fan. So that's the retirement of Johnny Bench in 1983. That's Pete Rose returning to the Reds from the Montreal Expos in 1984. And that's Pete Rose setting the all-time hit record in 1985, you know, when he passed Ty Cobb on the all-time hits list. But I remember, too, the feelings in 1989 when the early allegations emerged that he had bet on baseball and the Reds. And a scandal and an investigation that devoured the entire year, the entire baseball season. And, you know, I'll say for me, you know, my reaction in the earliest days was similar to that of, I think, most Reds fans, most baseball fans. I thought it was implausible and impossible that Pete Rose, of all people, would have bet on the Reds and willingly violating Rule 21D, a rule that he knew would get him banned from baseball for life. But by the end of that summer, you know, I think any objective fan looking at the baseball, Major League Baseball investigation, a voluminous report and investigation led by a man named John Dowd, anyone looking at that objectively by the summer of 1989 would have to say that it seemed very likely that Pete had bet on baseball. And so the lies that Pete told that summer and then told for 15 more years were incredibly destructive, not just to him, but to the city of Cincinnati, to Major League Baseball, to John Dow, the man who investigated him, and I would say even to Bart Giamatti, the commissioner of baseball in 1989.
We're on with Keith O'Brien, author of his new book, Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose. And Keith, just listening to you and using the word destructive, especially as you grew up, you know, a fan watching him and then seeing and hearing all of this unfold. My question is kind of more of a writer's perspective, because I know it took a lot of time to put this book together. You talked to a lot of different people other than just Pete Rose, right? You talked to, I know, Faye Vincent, the deputy commissioner at the time, right? A lot of other big people that played such a role in his banishment. And my question, Keith, is, writing this book, doing this reporting, as you put this together, how did it change or not change your view of Pete Rose and your personal opinion of him as a person and a player?
Well, you know, I think those two things are separate, you know, the person and the player. You know, I'll say this, you know, I think most people, even me, even most Reds fans, have forgotten why we ever cared about Pete Rose in the first place. I think, you know, in the last 35 years, while he's been banned and made mistake after mistake off the field and sort of become a caricature of himself, we forgot why we ever cared. And so One thing I would say, Jill, is going back and writing this story with granular reporting, interviews with the people who were there, it's sort of stunning the kind of baseball player that Pete Rose was. We wouldn't even know what to do with him today. He played the game that hard. They hardly knew what to do with him back then, at a time when every player was playing for the next year's contract, when there was no five-year guaranteed money, when no one was making, $5 million a year, much less 70. So they didn't know what to do with him back then. And so I would say one thing that surprised me was just what an iconic and important baseball player he was. I really come to think that you cannot write the story of baseball in the 20th century without Pete Rose. That said, there's that other side, the person. And the person made many great, terrible decisions again and again and again. And, you really have to look at the Pete Rose story as a tragedy. And frankly, I think almost as a Greek tragedy. And that is how I came to think of this story. It's a Greek tragedy that just happened to play out in and around an American baseball field.
A Greek tragedy that is so incredibly relevant to today's game, the MLB, and that Rule 21. If you bet on baseball on your team, you get a lifetime ban. And we just saw that at the start of the month with the Padres infielder, Tucapita Moracana. He was found along with four other players were betting, but they were betting on not their team. So they received the one-year ban, but Moracana received the lifetime ban, the first person to be permanently ineligible for baseball, for banned for life, since Pete Rose did. And I can't help but think of your book, Keith, Charlie Hustle, Rise and Fall of Pete Rose, when this kind of news came out, and also the Shohei Ohtani scandal, as these big, huge, massive, game-changing events or scandals are going on right now. Were you just scratching your head and saying, oh my goodness, Pete Rose all over again? Could you believe the timing of all of this, like you said, 35 years later?
So, I mean, I guess my answer to that question might be surprising, but I was completely not stunned, not taken aback, and could absolutely believe what was happening. You mentioned a couple minutes ago, Faye Vincent. Faye Vincent was a deputy commissioner under Bart Giamatti in 1989. He would ultimately become commissioner when Bart Giamatti died. Faye Vincent is one of the people I interviewed for this book, interviewed countless times. And in one of our very first interviews, way back in September 2021, almost 3 years ago, Faye was looking out over the landscape of America at that time. And the sweeping legalization of gambling that was happening then. And looking out at that time, Faye said, there's going to be more Pete Roses and there's going to be more corruption. It's only a matter of time. And here we are. I would suggest that the time is now. And Tucapita Marcano won't be the last. There was another professional player who was banned this spring as well in the NBA, Jontay Porter. Banned in sports for gambling. This is the kind of thing that 35 years ago would have spawned months of headlines and investigations, and we've already forgotten. We've already moved on, and it's because gambling is now pervasive in our society.
Exactly.
We have the gambling apps on our phones. People are gambling like never before. And so, sadly, these kind of scandals aren't that surprising at all.
So, Keith, one layer to this that I found really fascinating, and I saw it in a separate article for your book, but something you authored, just the angle of journalism and where we are today as opposed to back then. And you mentioned Faye Vincent, but Sports Illustrated, as you sort of document, had started to find out what Pete Rose was doing. You kind of say that baseball, and you did the research in your book, it's in your book as well, but baseball was aware that Pete had the gambling problem, but they were kind of looking around going, this is Pete Rose. Like, we got to try to keep this in-house. Let's try to deal with this. But because the journalism was what it was about to hit, and they couldn't ignore it, and they had to start investigating as a result.
Absolutely true. You know, based on my reporting, this isn't my opinion, this is based on my reporting, baseball was well aware of Pete Rose's debts to bookies and his sports gambling habit as far back as 1978, if not sooner. That's 11 years before he's banned from baseball for life. So baseball has willingly stuck its head in the sand. It doesn't want to know what it doesn't know about Pete Rose. Lots of other people, including the people in the front office of the Cincinnati Reds, also don't want to know what they don't know about Pete Rose. And it is a Sports Illustrated investigation that changes everything. You know, in February 1989, the front office of Major League Baseball catches the whiff of a rumor that Sports Illustrated has a tip that Pete has been betting on baseball and the Reds. And it's because of that rumor that Faye Vincent and Bart Giamatti call Pete into New York for a secret meeting. And in this secret meeting, they ask him point blank, have you been betting on baseball? And notably, all of the men in the room that day believe him when he says no. He denies it. He's believable. But because Sports Illustrated is circling, Faye Vincent and Bart Giamatti know that they can't take his word for it. They have to dig into it to themselves. They can't be caught flat-footed by an investigation by a major American magazine. And so they begin doing their own investigation, which ultimately leads to his banishment. And so, you know, you do wonder, you know, what sports journalism outfit today, in a time of massive media cutbacks across the country, has the presence and the power to hold athletes and leagues and teams accountable in a time of sweeping gambling. You know, I think it's a big concern. And, you know, you mentioned, Jill, a minute ago, the investigation around Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. I still personally, as a journalist, have many questions.
Me too, Keith.
That's where we were going to maybe go with this too, Keith, is you mentioned Sports Illustrated was not, it was not out of the ordinary at all for an outfit like that. Or there's many other journalistic outlets back in the day that would take 2, 3, 4 weeks, travel around the globe if necessary, to work on something and really find out and send a team of people, not just one person. Do we know if anybody's even asking those questions or trying to uncover some things more about Ohtani to try to answer all the questions that we all have?
Listen, I personally don't know, you know, and I think we have to say clearly that, you know, investigators have found no wrongdoing related to Shohei Ohtani. That said, you know, there are so many unanswered questions about that particular scandal. I think there are holes in that story that you could drive a battleship through at this point. And I do wonder why more media outlets aren't digging into those questions and trying to understand those holes in that story. You know, namely, based on court documents, Ippei Mizuhara gambled about $180 million over the course of 26 months. And lost, again, allegedly, $42 million. He's only being accused of stealing 17. So who paid the other $25 million? Because it doesn't seem to me that Ippei Mizuhara has the financial wherewithal to pay those debts himself.
Hmm. Bringing it to full circle here as we let you go, Keith, and this is fascinating stuff. Again, the book is called Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose, New York Times bestseller. If you're a Pete Rose fan, if you're a baseball fan, it is awesome. And it is on my list to read cover to cover this summer. I'm going to do this. Keith, Pete Rose today is also pretty interesting. If you YouTube, and I did this morning, just random interviews Pete Rose has done over the years, at whatever stage of life, he's engaging. He's great when you're just talking baseball. You got a chance to do this several times for your book. I'm sure you were sitting there fascinated as a baseball fan about that part of it, but you're also doing the other part of the story too. But where is he in life now, sitting at 82? Because he's ostracized from baseball and he's got this whole gambling world, he still is sort of drawn to that world, right?
Yeah, Pete Rose is 83 years old, and in some ways he is – sort of turned into the old man, you know, on the fringes of the universe he wants to live in, you know, shaking his fist at the sky. You know, he remains unable to even, you know, get into a batting cage with Cincinnati Reds prospects. The all-time hit leader can't teach, you know, young kids how to hit a baseball. He can't go to spring training. And those things do drive Pete Rose crazy. You know, one thing that I learned about Pete in the reporting of this book, and it seems obvious, but I don't think it is that he loved baseball. And the truth is, not everyone who's great at their sport really loves it. But Pete Rose did. He loved batting practice. He loved fielding practice. He loved road trips. He loved sitting in the dugout. He loved bantering on the field. And, of course, he loved hitting. He loved everything about it. And it's been taken away from him. He lost it due to his own choices again and again and again. And I believe that at 83 years old, you know, he is regretful of those choices and yet still cannot seem to get out of his own way when reckoning with his past.
Yeah. Do you think, Keith, ultimately, I know you asked all your interview subjects in your book this question, but do you think at some point he will be given what a lot of people could live with now? Maybe they feel like he served his time, whatever you rationalize, because I think I would have been arguing 20 years ago that no, he violated Rule 21, and that's it. He knew what he was doing. He's banned for life. But this argument of could you put him in the Hall of Fame as a player, if you want to recognize that, do you think that day will come someday?
You know, I waffle back and forth on this. I don't believe it's going to happen while he's alive. I think that ship sailed long ago. I do tend to believe that when he's gone, you know, he will likely be reinstated. And when he's reinstated, he could be placed back on the ballot and writers could vote for him for the first time. And we could sort it out then. The interesting thing is, guys, we could have sorted this out 35 years ago. When he was banned in August 1989, there was no rule that stated he couldn't appear on the ballot. That rule was only put into place 2 years later, within months of Pete's name first appearing there at Cooperstown. It was effectively the Pete Rose corollary. And because it was enacted, we have never had the chance to sort it out, to hash it out, to debate it. And really vote on it in some meaningful way. And I think, honestly, that would have been helpful to do a long, long time ago. We could have put this to bed a long time ago, one way or the other. Mm.
Keith, great stuff. And I hope you've
yes,
I hope you continue to have success with this book and looking forward to having you on again sometime. But thanks a lot for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It was a blast.
All right. Keith O'Brien, author, Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose. A lot of layers there. A lot of different angles we can take. Just Pete Rose himself, yeah. Fascinating sports character. Then journalism, mm-hmm. Gambling, and sports. All very pertinent every day.
Today's world, today's athletes, and the athletes, and the youth growing up. You know, we talk about how gambling is becoming more and more prevalent in our society. Well, unfortunately, it's also making bad headlines for athletes. And hopefully, you know, college athletes, younger kids are looking at that and learning this lesson. But it's something that's going to be continuing in the sports world. For what? Forever?
Forever.
Right? Forever.
I think forever.
Forever.
Nice. Sandlot reference. I like it. All right. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. Jill Jelinek with Fox 17. Willie Donick here with you on this Tuesday. College World Series will start up at 1 o'clock. We'll keep you updated on that game. Who's going to play Tennessee in the finals of that bracket? Stay tuned. We're coming back with more. Don't forget, Willie and D. Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Interesting with our discussion. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up in Tennessee to bet. All right, a lot of different ways we can go with this. Great interview with Keith O'Brien. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to weigh in and react on any of these facets, 615-737-1025. Our call line, text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai NFL.com. Dylan weighs in and says, A, great interview. B, Jill just gave a Sandlot reference. If she's not permanently on the show, then we riot.
I appreciate that.
So you got
that.
A fan
there
in
we
Dylan.
Go.
A
there
shout
we go.
Out to
Thanks,
Dylan.
Thanks, Dylan.
Hair Metal Henry also on our text line says Forrest Gump could run from Sunrise, Florida to Edmonton in four
Ooh,
days.
Ooh, good. That is, I agree.
I'm guessing he covered part of that track in the movie. Yeah. Part of that had to be along the way from Edmonton to Sunrise, right? Because he covered a lot of mileage on that jog. It's a 90s movie day here on the show. It's all of a sudden become that. But great stuff. But one thing that I think just always scares me, Jill, because as we navigate through this, look, it's here to stay. The gambling, it's going to be part of it. I know the leagues work very, very hard to, and this is part of the argument of doing it in the first place, is saying we can keep it above board. We can monitor it. We have all the technology, and it's going to be almost safer. The argument is, anyway, there's less chance of scandal with it being out in the open than it is in the old system where it was the guys from The Godfather, you know, Guido and you know, all those guys that were running it. But just the immediacy is the thing that I get concerned with. You mentioned young people who have now grown up. My kids are in this age where they have grown up where it's just normal to see a person pull out their phone, make a bet, boom. It's just so normal. Yeah,
so many different apps. It's not like all one platform, too. I can't even keep up with how many organizations now have their own app, own brand for betting online.
So that is what concerns me, is people that wouldn't otherwise have got into a habit of doing it. And, of course, as we know, with all habits, if it's in moderation, we're fine.
But
some people have trouble controlling their habits with a number of different things, and this is one of them, right? It can be, and this is why we always read the disclaimer with these companies that we have. You know, we have a great relationship with Zen Sports here on the show, but that's why that number is out there, because it is tough. But especially when you're just forming your habits as a teenager and you're just getting old enough to do it, you go off to college, then, you know, it can go in a lot of different ways, and you can get yourself in trouble.
And I think of the young college athlete, right? And luckily, schools, universities, programs are getting ahead of the curve, right? Especially if they know in their state it is legalized. There are classes for those student athletes. As soon as they are freshmen, they go over every single rule, every single NCAA violation, right? But then there's an extra protocol for when it comes to gambling. And you're seeing that, obviously, not just the college level, but the pro level. And I keep thinking of Nicholas Petitfrere, how he was suspended just this past season. He was supposed to be the starting left tackle.
He ruined his season, really, you could argue. I know he got injured after it, but he was so far behind by the time he got eligible to play. That could not have helped.
He was expected to be the starting left tackle, and that on an offensive line that was already going to struggle protecting Ryan Tannehill. And his defense was, hey, I didn't understand the rule in its entirety. I thought I could do this, but really it was actually X. And unfortunately, that hurt, that misunderstanding of whatever miscommunication, wherever the degree of separation was, it cost them a lot. And I hope athletes, college athletes, student athletes, professional athletes are looking at these examples, looking at these headlines, looking at these players that have made massive mistakes, not just Pete Rose, right?
Yeah.
But I hope they're looking, they're learning, and they're asking questions. They're making sure, hey, okay, so can I even download this app? Can I even have an account? I'm one of those people, hey, play it safe. Don't even bother, right? Don't bother. Forget if you're betting on another sport. If you're a professional athlete, just play it safe. You never want to put yourself up for any risk. So I hope, you know, you brought up the point earlier, Willie, about the immediacy of it and how new it is in a lot of states. I hope we're going through our struggles now so that the headlines, we see less and less headlines as we continue through this gambling world.
It's one thing to navigate through the rules when you don't have a gambling problem. But this is the thing about Pete Rose. Imagine in today's world where it's all around you, it's so easy. But Pete Rose, as Keith O'Brien documented, one of the things we all loved about Pete Rose, the player, was how much he obviously loved the game and how to play the game. Played it hard.
Hustled.
Charlie Hustle. That's him. And look, how could you not be intoxicated by that? But despite that love of the game and understanding of the rule, he violated the cardinal rule because he had a problem. He had a disease, a habit. He could not control it. A compulsive gambler. So he did, you know, he went against the one thing he knew he couldn't do. Even if you wanted to bet on horses and that, he had such a problem that that wasn't good enough after a while. He had to get into the taboo of betting on his own team, on baseball, which he knew he couldn't do. And that is, that's what I fear going forward, is there will be
players
prominent
that
players that know, but they can't control themselves.
Yes.
And that, and it's going to put, it's going to be bad for them, obviously, but it's also not going to be good for this whole thing of gambling in sports.
Absolutely. And I was also going to say, I was on the side of, hey, let's one day get Pete Rose in that Hall of Fame. Because I'm a baseball purist, what he did, you know, again, we could go in circles and circles. I would love to see him on that Hall of Fame, in that Hall of Fame one day. However, unfortunately, with just this past year, with these athletes, more and more examples of athletes getting in trouble, it makes me think that that is less and less likely to happen. Because as soon as baseball says, you know what, we're going to grant him this pass, you kind of go, okay, what can of worms are we opening? And it takes them a step away from their hard-nosed stance, Rule 21, you will be banned for life.
Yeah, you have to have a deterrent.
Absolutely.
Of a serious punishment, or else
absolutely,
I think you're only asking for trouble. All right, we're going to take this discussion into the next hour. If you want to comment on it, we'd love to hear it. If you're a Pete Rose fan,
yeah,
do you think he should be in the Hall of Fame? I'd love to hear some opinions on that. What about the gambling in sports 5 years later? How have your own habits changed since it became legal? Are you gambling as much as you ever did before? Is this something new for you? What about people around you, your experiences? What do you see? And are you worried about going forward another scandal, a Pete Rose type of scandal that could put a black eye on the sports that we love to watch or teams that you love to watch? Imagine that having here. I hope that never happens. We have to cover a story of somebody in Nashville who put their team in jeopardy, their school in jeopardy, something like that. 615-737-1025. Our call text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim Hasselbeck also coming up next hour as well at 1:30, so keep it right here on 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever?
Coming crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.